There are a lot of people in the world talking about Jesus right now. And it's not all good. Much of it is not true, and some of it is blasphemy. And the result is Jesus may not be who I think he is. And so as we think about Jesus, there are four areas that concern him that we need to think about. We need to think about his person. We need to think about his teachings. We need to think about his behavior, and we need to think about his will. And as I think about those things, I need to ask myself, who decides what I think about Jesus? Who is the voice, or who are the voices that I am listening to that are talking about Jesus, seeking to define him? I need to think about how I know what he taught, what his teachings are. I need to think about what I know about what he did and how I know what he did. And I need to think about how I personally know what his will is for me. And so as we think about Jesus in light of his person and his teachings and his behavior and his will, in the Sermon on the Mount, perhaps the most famous teaching of Jesus, Jesus says over and over again in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, you have heard it was said, but I say to you. Chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, after he's been talking about things that you have heard, he says you need to beware of false prophets. And he'll continue talking about all these themes throughout his life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Matthew chapter 24, he will talk about the days that are going to come after he is no longer on the earth, and he would talk about being prepared for false Christ, plural, and false prophets, plural, who would rise after him. And so Jesus may not be who I think he is. And so as we consider his person this morning, there are a lot of voices talking about Jesus in the world today, and they are communicating to us that it doesn't matter what you believe about Jesus as long as you believe in Jesus. And so we turn our attention to the Gospel of John, and in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, we read that the Gospel of John was written that we might believe, not just whatever we want to believe about Jesus, but that we might believe some very specific things about him. And that's the conclusion of the book. And so we go back to the beginning of the book, and what we see in the first 18 verses is that Jesus is in truth God. He's the true and living God. And he is the true and living God who is the only God who is begotten, John 1 verse 18. He's the only begotten God. And then we continue reading, and Jesus would declare himself in John 3, verse 16, the only begotten Son of God. And then Jesus would say in John chapter 8, verse 24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. When Jesus says in John 8, verse 24, if you do not believe that I am, there might have been some misunderstanding about what he meant when he said that in verse 24, but he clears up any misunderstanding that they might have had in verse 58 when he says, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And they knew exactly what that meant because that's the personal name of God. And so in verse 59, because they did not believe that he was in truth the great I am who is from everlasting to everlasting, the I am, they took up stones to throw at him. Therefore, I said, you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. A lot of people saying a lot of things about the person of Jesus. What do I believe about His person, and why do I? As we think about His teachings, a lot of people talking about what Jesus taught. This is a list of things that you have heard that it was said, but Jesus never said any of these things. And so we hear people evoke the name of Jesus and they want to talk about you do you. And the first thing that Jesus said in Matthew 4 verse 17 after He began His public ministry was repent. Repent doesn't have anything to do with you doing you. Repentance has to do with you're going in the wrong direction, and what you need to do is you need to turn and go in the right direction. Jesus never told anyone to follow their heart. In point of fact, after He told people to repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, He would say to people, what you need to do is you need to follow Me. And so this business of follow your heart, that false teaching, that false doctrine has destroyed more marriages. It has broken more families. It has hurt more people and led more people away from Jesus than perhaps any other pithy little saying or teaching that Jesus never taught. Jesus never said, you need to get in there and make it about you. No, the first thing Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount is, the only way that you're going to be blessed in this life and in the life to come is to recognize your own spiritual bankruptcy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, not the prideful. Blessed are those who understand who they are in relationship to the God who is spirit. You, by comparison, are bankrupt compared to Him. And if you want to be blessed, if you want to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, then the first thing that you've got to get right is who you are. We have people talking about, don't let anyone tell you what to think. That is precisely what the Sermon on the Mount is about. It is about Jesus teaching as one who had authority. That was the conclusion of everybody that heard the Sermon on the Mount. This man is not like the other Jewish rabbis. He teaches as one who has authority. And the reason why He taught one as who had authority is because he has authority. The point of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus telling you that there are some things that you ought to think and there are some things that you ought not to think. We hear people evoke the name of Jesus in our day talking about it doesn't matter what you do. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus not only talks about what we ought to be doing as His followers, but He also talks about the why of it. According to Jesus, it's not just enough to do the things that God would have us to do. Our motivation for what we do matters according to Jesus. We hear people talking about Jesus and talking about worship and talking about any form of worship is acceptable. It doesn't matter how you worship. It doesn't matter the form of your worship, that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus in worship, that it is acceptable to Him. Well, Jesus would say in John chapter 4 verse 23, that the hour is coming and now is, as He is in much of His teaching preparing those of His day for the new covenant. There is coming an hour and now is when the true worshipers, what's the opposite of true? False. And so according to Jesus, there are going to be some false worshipers. But the true worshipers are going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. And the reason why is because God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. A lot of voices talking about Jesus in our world today. Much of it is not true. Much of it is blasphemy. People claiming to follow Jesus talking about there are a lot of ways to heaven. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way. There is no other, singular, unique, one of a kind." Within the context of Jesus, people talking about live your truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." People talking about, within the context of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus and a Christian, that Jesus' desire for you, according to His teaching, is for you to live your best life. And Jesus says, "I am the life." People talking about Jesus and talking about Jesus' teaching and talking about how everyone that calls on Jesus is going to heaven. And Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21, 22, and 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, verse 23, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." A lot of voices in our world talking about Jesus, talking about His person, talking about His teachings, talking about His behavior. In Luke chapter 5, and in verses 15 and 16, we read that this report went out concerning Jesus, and that great multitudes came together for two reasons. Number one, they came together to hear Him. And number two, they came together to be healed by Him of their infirmities. And I want you to watch what Jesus did in verse 16 in response to these multitudes who were coming to hear Him and who were coming to be healed by Him. "He often withdrew." Well, who did He withdraw from? He withdrew from people who were coming to hear Him. Well, who did He withdraw from? He withdrew from people who were coming to be healed by Him. And so as we think about Jesus' behavior, who informs us concerning how Jesus behaved? Because the truth is, He did not teach everyone. The truth is, He did not heal everyone. The truth is, He did not cater to crazy or pander to problems. He often withdrew into the wilderness. Jesus did not use profanity. There are a lot of people talking about Jesus, proclaiming that Christ is King. And then as they emphasize their points about Jesus, they use profanity. As they are making points about Jesus, they use profanity for the purpose of communicating the intensity of their emotion. That's not how Jesus thought. That's not how Jesus spoke. That's not how Jesus reasoned with people. He didn't use vulgarity. to try to win people to himself. Jesus offended people. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, even his apostles were surprised by that. And so they come to him in Matthew 15, verse 12, and they just ask him the question. Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And Jesus' response in verses 13 and 14 is not, oh no, go get them, bring them back over here so that I can clear that up. Because the last thing I would want to do is offend somebody. No, that is not what Jesus said. In fact, what Jesus said in verse 13 is that these people that were offended when they heard him, that they were plants that his heavenly Father had not planted. And any plant that the Father in heaven hadn't planted, that it's going to be uprooted. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but it will be uprooted. And so here's what he tells the disciples about these people that were offended at what they heard Jesus saying. And here's the truth. Jesus often offended people as a consequence of his speaking truth. And so the first thing Jesus says to the disciples about their concern about these people that were offended by what they heard Jesus say is let them alone. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Who am I listening to concerning Jesus' behavior? Follow your heart has been a popular slogan in connection to Jesus all of my life, but perhaps the most popular one within those who would claim to call upon the name of the Lord from Northwest Alabama to Northern Virginia and all points in between, everywhere I've ever been, is this business of judge not that you be not judged. Which Jesus did say. But that's not all he said about judgment. And judge not that you be not judged is within the context of the business of judging righteous judgment. And so the truth is, Jesus judged people. In Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 40, Jesus says to someone who is speaking to himself in verse 39. Jesus says to him in verse 40, Simon, I have something to say to you. And so you go back to verse 36 and you read the context of 36 through 40. Jesus is in Simon's house. He is an invited guest of Simon in his house. Simon has invited Jesus to come and put his feet under his table and to share in a meal. And Jesus says to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he judged Simon's heart. People all over the world talking about the problems of the world, evoking the name of Jesus. We begin with this person. Who is he? And then we look at a statement like Jesus made in Mark 14, verse 7. The poor you have with you always. Jesus did not solve all of the world's problems when he was on the earth. Jesus did not encourage sin. John the 8th chapter and in verse 11, a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. There are voices in our time that evoke the name of Jesus and they evoke the teachings of Jesus and they redefine adultery as non-sexual covenant breaking. And so if that is the definition of adultery, then what Jesus And these people that were involved in all this, what they caught her in was going down to the courthouse to file for a divorce. But that's not what she was doing, was it? And so what did Jesus say to her after that ugly business of them just trying to test Jesus? That's all that was about. Yeah, he showed her grace. And yes, he showed her mercy. But when he told her to go, he said, go and sin no more. Yes, Jesus ate with sinners, but not because he wanted to appear inclusive or tolerant or accepting. Jesus ate with sinners to call them to repentance. I am purposefully not calling the names of the people that I am going to war with this morning. And so if you know what I'm talking about with the next point that I am going to make, I want you to give some serious consideration to your relationship with it. Jesus was not flawed. Jesus never committed a single trespass. Jesus did not sin. John 8 verse 29, of all the things that Jesus could say about himself, that is not true of you, that is not true of me. In John 8 verse 29, Jesus would say about his relationship to the Father, I always do those things that please him. Always. And that is what qualified him to be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. No flaws, no trespasses, no sin. Tempted in all points likened to as we are, yet without sin. What do you believe about his behavior? And why do you believe it? What do I believe and why? What voices am I allowing to influence me concerning his person and his teachings and his behavior? And his will. The word will has to do with what one desires. What do you desire? When you examine yourself and you think about what is in your heart and what you long for, what you long to do, what you long to have, what you long to experience, I need to be honest. We need to be honest that what we desire may not be what He desires for us. And so as we think about teachings that Jesus never taught, Jesus never said to anybody, Jason, what is it that you want out of life? And how can we get you where you want to be? Jesus never said to anyone, Jason, I just want you to be happy. That's my will for you. I just want you to be happy. I want you to be healthy, and I want you to have wealth so that you can have things and do things and go to places. In Luke, the 9th chapter, Luke uses a word that Matthew and Mark don't use. And so Luke 9, 23 through 26 is the text I would draw you to in consideration of Jesus' will for your life. If anyone desires, and that's will right there, that's what will is all about. What do you will? To think about, to talk about, to do. What do you desire out of life under the sun? In this world. We're in the world. Jesus knows we're in the world. He prays in John 17, not that we would be taken of it, but that while we were in it, that we wouldn't be of it, that we wouldn't belong to it. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, and there it is daily. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, which is an instrument of death. And so Paul would echo that in 1 Corinthians, and he would talk about, I die daily, present tense, I die daily. It's a brand new day. What do you desire in this brand new day? Well, according to Jesus, the first thing that you need to do if you desire to come after him is die. You need to wake up every morning, and the first thing you need to do is you need to die. You need to die to self. G.K. Chesterton said, it's not that Christianity was tried and found wanting. It was found difficult. And people stopped trying it. And make no mistake about it. To wrap your mind around the person of Jesus and to listen to his teachings and to look at his behavior and then to consider his will, that'll be the greatest challenge that you ever face in your life. If you desire to save your life, then you'll lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you will save it. Unless there be any doubt in what he was talking about, verse 25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? If you desire the whole world, and you're willing to gain the whole world, and you are focused, laser focused on achieving these worldly goals, what profit will it be to you if you gain all that, but you're destroyed or lost? And then Jesus says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, I want to tell you something about the gospel of Jesus in the first century. It was a tough sell. And I want to tell you something about the gospel of Jesus Christ in the 21st century. It's a tough sell. Because it is not appealing to the flesh in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It is calling us to crucify the flesh. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Jesus came in humility, the first coming, but in the second coming, he is coming in all of his glory. And he's coming as the judge. And as the judge, he is going to separate the saved from the lost. He is going to separate the sheep from the goats. He is going to separate those who desired him from those who desired self. And so Jesus would speak in John 7:17 of those who will to do his will. And that's the key to all of it right there. To will to know him, to know his teachings, to know his behavior, to know his will. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know. And so here's the conclusion of all things this morning. The point of this lesson this morning, Jesus may not be who you think he is not, I've got Jesus all figured out, so listen to me. It is not that. The point is this. If you and I are to understand Jesus, then you and I must abide in his word. Amen. That is the theme of our year. That is how we began on January 5th of this year. January 5th, 2025. The title of that lesson is John 8, 31 and 32. It's on our website. You can go back and listen to it. According to Jesus, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. And the truth of Jesus' person and his teachings and his behavior and his will It'll set us free from the sway of the wicked one, the lies the wicked one tells. He will set us free from hopelessness and doubt and uncertainty and despair. And ultimately, in time and throughout all of eternity, He will separate us and free us from the bondage of sin and death. And so to this end, the shepherds of this local church who are endeavoring to follow the chief shepherd have made it our aim this year to encourage you to abide in Him, to abide in His Word. Let Jesus tell you who He is. Let Jesus teach you. Let Jesus show you who He is. Let Jesus Himself reveal His will for you, to you, as you read His Word in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and as you read His will for your life as revealed by the Spirit of Truth, the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, from the book of Acts through the book of Revelation. Number 406, more about Jesus. This is why we read. This is why we have classes. This is why we encourage everyone to read for themselves, so that individually we can learn more about Jesus, and collectively we can learn more about Jesus to the glory of God. Number 406, with our brother Greg leading, let's stand and sing together.